This is Tommy Keene, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Kelly McCon. Campbell Hudson is hosting its monthly dinner on Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 in our Solaris building, 360 Warren Street. Come experience community and meet new people and old friends over a freshly prepared meal made by our local volunteers. Everyone is invited and no one will be turned away. We will be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Marilyn Zoller Chorale in San Francisco, California. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. On March 12th, Catskill Superintendent of Schools Dan Wilson released a statement to parents and community delaying the school play. Instead of this weekend, the Cinderella musical will be performed on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. The play is being delayed because choral director Michelle Soros Ryan and Catskill High School principal Junat Sarr were both suspended by the school superintendent following a complaint about the music teacher jokingly handing scotch tape to a student during a rehearsal when several cast members would not stop talking. The student said, as a joke, she placed a piece of tape over her mouth and continued talking. The principal was suspended for not taking action, but was reinstated March 12th. Shaw, though, is the teacher organizing the play, and since she has not been reinstated, the production was not able to meet its intended date. There have been protests from students and community members almost daily since the two were suspended almost 2 weeks ago. Wilson has refused to speak about the issue, and in his announcement of the play's delay only wrote, and I quote, "We have made the decision with careful consideration to ensure that the production meets the highest standards and that all involved have the best possible experience," end quote. Mid-Hudson News reports that a juvenile who lives in Massachusetts has been charged by police after sending threatening text messages to a 17-year-old girl and her friends in the city of Hudson. The suspect sent messages threatening to, and I quote, "stab all of your friends," end quote, and I quote, "I'll jump you in school," end quote, and sent images of a knife and a black long rifle. Hudson Police and eventually Massachusetts State Police led to a warrant search at a residence in Massachusetts where police recovered the rifle and knife. Hudson Police Chief Mashonda Franklin said, and I quote, "This incident is a stark reminder of the importance of swift and collaborative action in ensuring the safety of our community," end quote. Read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. Kevin Frey reports at New York State of Politics that last week Congress passed and President Joe Biden signed a budget bill that largely maintains Amtrak's operational funding after Republicans had threatened to slash $1 billion from Amtrak's budget. Rail Passengers Association President Jim Matthews said, and I quote, "Overall, this is not a bad outcome considering where we started. If you compare this to the bill that was circulating last summer and into the fall, which would have been just disastrous on all counts, and it was effectively a kill Amtrak bill, this is much, much better," end quote. Matthews gives credit in part to New York's freshman Republicans who publicly asked for Amtrak to remain in place. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And That wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the Donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage the president unfairly. I explained to the attorney general my decision and the reasons for it. That's what I was required to do.
Former special prosecutor Robert Hur testifying to House Judiciary about deciding not to charge President Joe Biden for keeping classified documents after leaving the vice presidency. Hur got questioned from both sides, Democrats saying he was biased in writing about Biden's memory, Republicans arguing Hur and the Justice Department have been more lenient to Biden than to former President Donald Trump. President Biden has sent his 2025 budget to Congress, including an expanded child tax credit and plans for a national paid family leave program. White House Budget Director Shalonda Young also testified to the Senate that it can solve a looming crisis in Medicare with tax increases for the extremely wealthy.
It extends Medicare solvency indefinitely by requiring wealthy people to pay their fair share toward Medicare and reducing prescription drug costs. And it reflects the president's commitment to reject any benefit cuts to Social Security.
The budget calls for higher corporate taxes and reducing the deficit by $3 trillion over a decade. But with a starkly divided Congress, it is at best an initial proposal. With a victory in the Georgia primary, Biden has locked up the Democratic nomination. Trump is expected to follow soon. Meanwhile, Colorado Republican Congressman Ken Buck, a conservative noted as a sharp Trump critic, has said he will leave office even before the end of his term. With a bipartisan immigration deal dead in the Senate after Trump criticized it, House Democrats are forming a border security task force. New Mexico Representative Henry Cuellar says Republicans have controlled the narrative by falsely painting U.S. border communities as dangerous when they're some of the safest in the country. Cuellar adds that though Republicans talk about strengthening the border, most voted against increased Customs and Border Patrol funding.
The last two appropriation cycles, where we added $2.4 billion for CBP, that is for Border Patrol, adding new agents, support staff, the bonuses, the retention.
The House will be voting today on a bill to ban popular social media app TikTok. Co-sponsor Texas Representative Chip Roy says the app's Chinese owners ByteDance are a threat to national security.
So people rightly concerned about the power of government. Nobody wants to go, certainly I don't want to go give the government a lot of power to go after privately held companies. But in this case, you've got a privately held company that is heavily owned by the Chinese Communist Party. So that's a problem.
The app is not, in fact, owned by the Chinese government, and ByteDance says it won't sell data to it. Biden says he'll sign the bill if it reaches his desk, but House members like former Speaker Nancy Pelosi say it would be better to require a clearer division between the app and the Chinese government.
We want TikTok to exist. We're not there to ban it. I've said we want to make it tic-tac-toe. We want to make it something that is not a fearful social media platform, but one that is very positive.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Nevada Circuit Court judge issued a pair of eyebrow-raising orders March 6th on proposed citizen ballot measures. One order upheld a proposed strict and possibly discriminatory voter ID initiative, and the other struck down a measure proposing a pro-voter independent redistricting commission. The voter ID measure proposes changing the Nevada Constitution to implement stricter voter ID requirements, limiting the forms of ID which can be used, and requiring identification to be added to absentee ballots. A voter sued, arguing Nevada does not provide free IDs, and requiring an ID of all voters would amount to a poll tax, prohibited by the U.S. Supreme Court. The voter also argued that the language of the initiative did not provide funds to implement such a mandate. The judge disagreed, saying the language satisfied the law and did not violate the state constitution's prohibition of unfunded mandates, but did not appear to address the U.S. constitutional concerns. Another pair of ballot initiatives proposed constitutionally establishing an independent redistricting commission. Conservative voters sued, claiming the independent commission was an unconstitutional unfunded mandate. This time, the judge did find the commission to be an unfunded mandate and that the ballot initiatives may not appear on the ballot. Appeals are likely in both cases. We have details on the ballot measures at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, March 13th. Local early morning temperatures range from 29 degrees in Medusa to 36 in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 38 degrees. Yes, this morning it is very cold once again. However, this afternoon temperatures reach 65 degrees and skies will be mostly sunny. Overnight, the mercury dips to 40 degrees. Then, tomorrow, another nice day, high of 65. After darkness sets in, however, rain returns to the area. It falls all night long as temperatures drop to 48 degrees. It also falls all day long on Saturday, in which temperatures max out at 55 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:46 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:05 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 433 kilometers per second with an average density of 6 protons per cubic centimeters. We're still looking out for that Hadouken. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 68. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice, the world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
We're going to tell you about what's playing in the theaters around these parts. I'm going to start off and tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Arthur the King, Kung Fu Panda 4.
Wow.
Big deal. And Dune Part 2. Also, another movie. Sorry, Cabrini.
Oh.
I don't know anything about that.
Me neither.
It says coming International Women's Day, which was
last week.
All right. So you can find out more about those movies and showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WINDHAM Theater.com.
All right. And now I am going to tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater over in Chatham. We have The Teacher's Lounge, Poor Things, Barbie, The Zone of Interest, 20 Days and Mariupol, Freud's Last Session, Oppenheimer, Bob Marley, One Love, and Hop. And if you're interested in any of those movies and their showtimes, you can head on over to CrandallTheater.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you now about what's playing at Time and Space Limited, or TSL, in Hudson, New York. There is a lot of movies here as usual, so we do recommend heading to their website, timeandspace.org, to look at their full calendar, but a snapshot of what's playing this week. We have Giuseppe Tornatore's Ennio. We have Ian Chaney's The Ark of Oblivion. David Bickerstaff's Painting the Modern Garden, Monet to Matisse. Wim Wenders' Perfect Days. I'm excited about that
one. Yeah, me too.
Wim Wenders' Anselm. And Jonathan Glazer's Zone of Interest, as well as Matteo Garrone's Io Capitano. And, oh my gosh, we have more. Amos Poe's Unmade Beds. That's it.
Wow.
So check out more at timeandspace.org.
All right. And now we're going to head a little further south to the Upstate Films locations, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. So we have Perfect Days, Totem, The Taste of Things, Hundreds of Beavers, Io Capitano, The Monk and the Gun, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with writer Philip Gefter, and Lionesses, How Football Came Home with director Poppy de Villeneuve. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Saugerties, we have Dune Part 2, Buster Keaton's The General with live soundtrack by Anvil Orchestra, Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh.
Yeah, baby. Upstate Comedy Club, La La Land, RRR, Renaissance, a film by Beyonce, High Society, The Taste of Things, and American Fiction. And several of those films are part of the grand opening of The Mark, which is their new sound system over at the Upstate Films location in Saugerties. So if you're interested in any of those things, you should head over to upstatefilms.org and find out more. The Mark sounds like it's going to be really cool.
Very
I'm stoked.
Excited to check out The Mark.
Yeah, really stoked to go see RRR in like a crazy sound booth.
Yeah, I know, a movie I still have not seen. It's so embarrassing. All right, so I'm going to tell you last but not least about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson. That's the 8-screen theater on Fairview Avenue. We have Cabrini, Imaginary, Kung Fu Panda 4, Dune Part 2, Ordinary Angels, Bob Marley, One Love. You can find out more by going to thespotlighttheaters.com and selecting the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
Nice.
Here is 2022 new music from Jason Wolfman Martin out of Troy, New York. This song is called Nobody Hears It from his album Test Signal.
Record has never been made. Nobody hears it, hears it, hears it. Nobody hears it, hears it, hears it. Nobody hears it, hears it, hears it. Nobody hears it, nobody hears it. Have you heard this record? Nobody hears it. Cause one day all this will change. Never travel with flow. Seas will all rise up. Shall burn. Valleys shall burn.
Olale Kong JFS is a Brooklyn-based artist whose work reimagines social spaces that examine the relationships between architecture, community, and the environment. His exhibition, Even in Arcadia, opens this Saturday, March 16th at Art Omai, and references the environment, cultural shifts, and protopia. I'm pleased to be joined by Olale Kong. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Can we begin with you introducing yourself and the themes of your work to our listeners?
Okay, so my name is Olale Kong JFS. I go by Lake for short. I am a visual artist that was trained as an architect, which heavily inspires my practice, particularly my architectural education, which was very much about developing conceptual narratives that attend to social, political, environmental narratives, and developing kind of interesting world building concepts around that. The other half of my practice involves large scale public art installation. So that's also a way to reconcile my architectural background.
So as you mentioned, you have quite an expanse of work. So what can visitors expect from your exhibition coming to Art Omai, even in Arcadia?
So it's, I guess, loosely an extension of two earlier exhibitions slash projects. The first one was exhibited at the Museum of Modern Art in 2021, and that was called The Frozen Neighborhoods. And then a subsequent one was exhibited Pioneer Works, and that was Climate Futurism, and that was a group exhibit. And so the premise of Frozen Neighborhoods was sort of the idea that around the 70s, the government had enacted this very severe legislation that severely limited, you know, the mobility of individuals, families, et cetera, and how it impacted marginalized communities, particularly in Brooklyn, New York. And so I imagine, you know, now that they're unable to kind of travel and move around, what the community looks like in the intervening years, like in the next decade and a half. So I place it in a kind of retro-futurist 1995, and just imagine like local sustainability practices, self-sufficiency, innovative sci-fi inspired ways of rainwater collection, food growing, and food distribution, and all of those things. For the Pioneer Works exhibit, Climate Futurism, I then imagined that there is now this upstate community that the Brooklyn community is engaging with and involved in a kind of expansive knowledge share and, you know, back and forth food distribution. And they're called the Proto-Farm Communities of Upstate New York. That will give you the kind of background. So it's this sort of solar punk slash salvage punk retro futurist community. In the Even in Arcadia exhibit, I want it to be a little bit more open-ended, kind of just glimpses into, you know, what this little community looks like. Also somewhat playing around with and satirizing the kind of Hudson, you know, like the Arcadian landscape painting, Hudson River School, you know, playing around with those themes, inserting these characters into pretty mundane situations, kind of like everyday living life. So yes, it's just kind of a series of these vignettes into, you know, this retro futurist solar punk, salvage punk community.
Retrofuturist is a new term for me, as was Protopia. And to my understanding, futurism is like the optimism of what is to come and looking at the brilliance of the future. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You're looking at some very difficult and challenging ideas. Is this like a welcoming way of using aesthetics and playfulness to invite the viewer without overwhelming with like the reality and challenges of today?
Yeah, in a sense, you know, Protopia, I guess I should tackle them one by one, right? So for me, I've been much more interested in, instead of forecasting a future that is yet to happen, reimagining an alternate past that could have occurred given a set of different shifts in conditions and kind of trajectories, right? Precisely because the future is always believed to be this kind of pristine, untouched place where we can project our hopes and our dreams into. And also sci-fi very often projects our deepest fears and anxieties into them as well, right? But I'm more interested in the idea that it's less about, you know, reinventing or coming up with a whole new world than it is about working with what we have right now, you know? Particularly, you know, we live in a society of like industrial and capitalist excess, and our technologies are very much developed in a way that, on one hand, you know, ostensibly they're supposed to serve humanity, but really they create so much more waste. They're designed in a way for controlled obsolescence, for you to, you know, discard them after a year or two of use, and then buy into the newest updated model, right? And so I'm more interested in retrofuturism, given that reality of we have so much and we have enough, which is why salvage punk features heavily in my work. And that is literally the refashioning, the remixing, the recombining, blending of the excesses of capitalist detritus, right? To make new things, you know? And so Protopia, in contrast to Utopia, which imagines, you know, a pristine, wonderful future where everything kind of works out well. And in contrast with dystopia, where, again, our worst fears are exacerbated, Protopia just attends to the reality. It attends to the messiness, the conflicts, the tensions, the things that occur as a function of any kind of society trying to navigate towards a space that's more just and equitable. It's not an easy task, you know? And Protopia, I think, fundamentally acknowledges that fact. You know, that this isn't a tidy and neat little solution, that there's still problems and issues and things that we have to acknowledge and confront.
Amazing. So you mentioned your reference to the Hudson River School, and it makes me think of how the beautification of the landscape painting movement of the 19th century also aided in the push westward and the displacement of indigenous people and environmental destruction. And your public artwork, you've been doing public artwork from Brooklyn to Buffalo to LA, and that's often included in these conversations of gentrification. And I wonder, like, what is the risk of creating public artwork that can be used to displace and commodify? And what are some considerations when working in this medium?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked me that question, because it's a question that I've confronted in my own practice. And it's a question that I think about constantly, because I have created public artworks that have been a way to appease or commemorate certain communities without real material change for these communities, you know? And so it's a very interesting thing, because on the one hand, oftentimes these public projects that commemorate certain communities are... there's something that the community has fought very long and hard for, you know, to get the acknowledgement, right? So on one hand, it is something that is appreciated, right? But then again, on the other hand, as I mentioned, it's something that can often stand in the place for real and true kind of change. And so I've been bantering around this idea with my friends, attached to any public art specifically that is about commemorating or acknowledging a neighborhood, that there should be, you know, like a real material contribution in addition to just a public artwork. That danger, I guess, for lack of a better word, of reinforcing, you know, this kind of gentrification agenda for certain public art projects really exists. And for me, I think it's important to really talk about that.
It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Really excited for the opening of your exhibition, Even in Arcadia, at Art Omai on March 16th. Ulalukon Jaifus, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. And would you like to leave our listeners with anything?
I would love for you to come out to the opening again, March 16th, Art Omai, 3 to 5 p.m., and hear your thoughts on the show.
Here's Hudson Valley band Mercury Rev with Empire State Sun, or House in Excelsis, local music on the radio.
Hard is the kick in the young man's stride. I'm
Next, here is the Hudson-based band Babehoven with their song Often from the 2022 album Light Moving Time.
There's a way. Yeah. let you go.
Something That was Catskill-based Lily Konigsberg with Omi on the radio at WGXC.
Next, here's the Hudson-based band Buke and Gase. From their 2022 album Buke and Gase and Ra Ra Gabor, this is the song Ponds. Rigby's setting up here in the studio, getting a guitar tuned and ready to go. All right, well, you've got a guitar. You want to play one of the songs off the new record?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Which one are you going to play?
I was going to play something mellow, but maybe I should play something more, you know, to kind of like get moving a little. I think I will. I was talking about like people that have helped and inspired me, and so I wrote this song for one of the producers that I got to work with, and who it's I don't know if anyone, like, if you'll keep going, if there isn't a person who tells you, like, you know, like, you're good, you know, just like you're doing something that's good, and someone who you look up to, who you feel like has done something themselves. People, young people need that, you know, like encouragement. You can't just get it all from inside, or if you are, you're just like a much more, incredible person than I am. So anyway.
There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. And when we all get together, we can laugh about the things you said. You made this cruel world better, made me wish that you could be my dad. The way you talked, how it sounded, it was deep, it was nothing at all. When you called, you called, you called, you called, you called, you called. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. One off. And when I look at your picture, I can feel it like I felt back then. If you said that it mattered, well, it did, yeah, I remember when. The day we met, you were older, you had lived, you were halfway through. And you knew, you knew, you knew, you knew, you knew, you knew. Don't have to go to the mountain like the mountain, you were already there. And you cared, you cared, you cared, you cared, you cared, you cared. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you. There'll never be another you.
All right, the crowd went wild.
Can
for that
I rent
one
of those from you? Yes, we'll put a mic on it.
Next, we are going to hear from Catskill's Reckless Lawrence. He has a new album out May 17th, 2019, called Transience. And this is the song Tiny House on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. A brand new song from Catskill's Reckless Eric. His album Transience is out May 17th. We're going to hear the half of it, the epic third song on the record. On the radio,
WGXC.org.